When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Wrong with David Fowler, the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, welcome back.
Thanks very much for having me, Steve.
I want to get into a conversation from 30,000 feet today about the world economy, focusing in on a couple of the economies you're most familiar with. That is some of the European economies, the UK specifically. But the US economy was the worst performing of all of those G7 countries in the second quarter. The UK also down in the dumps as well. What are you seeing? What's your view?
Well, I think it's at this stage, it's kind of early to put anybody too much into a league table. Each economy is kind of going through this kind of post-pandemic increase in inflation, higher energy kind of scenario. And countries go through it in different ways. And certainly the experience that people in the U.S., for example, have had when it comes to inflationary increases and changing prices in terms of energy and stuff like that. While, you know, it's been very uncomfortable, it's certainly been a lot worse for people in other parts of the world. And I think what we're seeing in those kind of league tables is really just, you know, this kind of transitionary situation where some countries have kind of entered the cycle a little earlier possibly than others, or maybe are coming out of it a little earlier than others.
One of those countries coming out of it would be Japan, right? They kind of surprised everybody with a little bit of an increase in their growth rate for the second quarter.
They have, but again, from a very low starting point. And it's still, you know, when you look at the Japanese economy, you know, towards the 90s, we had the idea of the lost decade. You know, since then, we've had the idea of the lost three decades. You know, where the economy in Japan, in spite of everything they tried to do to kind of reflate it, really has just kind of bounced along at this kind of, it's, you know, at a steady but low growth level. And certainly, you know, people there are still worried about deflation, something that we don't hear too much in other countries these days. But certainly that's still the case over there. And as I said, kind of at the onset, I don't think anyone can read too much from these league tables at this stage. You know, another year and then things actually will probably have sorted itself out and we'll have more kind of normal data then to work with.
And so when you see figures come in like they did from the United States that showed a little bit of perhaps flattening or cooling of inflation, you're taking a wait and see approach to that, I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think so. It's a little early to say that the storm is over and everything is great. Obviously, you know, we have a midterm elections coming up in a couple of months. So, you know, the administration would like to say, you know, everything is really fantastic and nothing here to see, folks. I think that's a little optimistic. The good thing that we are seeing is that in terms of some commodity prices, which were one of the big drivers of inflation, we're starting to see things like crude oil come down from, you know, $120 a barrel at the kind of worst point down to about $84. As of this morning. So, you know, we've seen quite a reduction there. People are seeing that when they go to the gas station, you know, gasoline, as you call it here, is now, you know, kind of sub $4 in a lot of places. So, you know, still high, but paying less than $4 is a lot better than paying nearly $6. So, you know, we're starting to see some things come back in line. But I think, you know, if you're prudent, you have to wait a little bit to see if this is a trend or a blip.
You mentioned the UK and their inflation. I saw a rate that it was as high as 11%. As bad as it is here, it's worse there. And I think it may have flattened a little bit to 9.5%. But it's bad here, but it could be worse.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And, you know, when you look at countries like the UK, you know, the Bank of England is anticipating inflation to break 13% by the autumn, which would be the highest in 40 years or more, actually. So, you know, certainly the Federal Reserve here is not predicting anything close to that. And there's a reason, you know, in the UK and in other European countries, they're kind of hit with this double whammy of, you know, massive increasing energy prices, particularly in natural gas. which is kind of a localized market, unlike crude oil, which is kind of a global market. And also, you know, a significant reduction in the value of their currency versus the U.S. dollar. So if we look at the euro, it's trading just a little bit above par to the dollar. You know, a year ago, you were looking at probably 15% higher. Sterling is trading at just around 120 to the dollar. You know, again, that's about a 15% decrease from last year. And that 15% goes straight into increasing energy costs on top of whatever the energy cost increase is in itself.
How are folks in the UK dealing with this, coping with this? I saw one report where the outgoing Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, his comment was something like, well, it's going to be up to the next government to determine what to do about it. He's sort of washed his hands of it, it feels like.
Well, Boris Johnson's probably the happiest politician in the world at the moment because he's getting out of government just when everything is going really badly. And no matter who, whether it's Liz Truss or Rishi Sunak that takes over his position, both are being handed a totally poisoned chalice. When you look at, you know, it's just a litany of bad news. You know, you have high inflation, you have low growth, you have union unrest. You know, there have been rail strikes since June. More to come. National health workers are talking about going on strike. Other public sector workers are talking about going on strike. Other unions for people in the private sector, they're talking about going on strike because, you know, if you're anticipating inflation at 13% and you get a pay rise of 5%, that's not great. And then everything else is going up massively. So if we just take one thing, which is in the UK, there's a thing called the energy price cap, which maybe some of your listeners have heard about being discussed in various news reports. Last year, the energy price cap was about £1,800. So what it means is that basically for a private individual, like a private home, you can't pay more than £1,800 in energy costs. That's the maximum you can be charged. The most recent estimate for the cap, which will be being set just early in the autumn, is £5,200. So that's up, nearly three times. So if you're looking at a maximum bill of $550 a month, just think of it here. Who could pay that when wages are lower and the cost of everything else has gone up massively? So there's massive unrest. And the government really doesn't have anything that they can do other than say, you know, write a check for people, because they can't engineer energy prices down because the UK has to import energy. They can't change the price of commodities because it's they're global markets. You know, what can they do? They can't do much, but they will be blamed for everything. So I think Boris Johnson is a pretty happy guy, actually, you know, even though he is losing his job.
You mentioned the pound tumbling. Let's focus in on global currencies here. Are there any bright spots for investors who are in this area? What would the play be going forward?
Well, I think most people are looking at of the economies in Europe. UK is probably the one that will suffer the most going forward. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that people believe that the European Central Bank will, now that they start increasing base rates, will be much more aggressive than the Bank of England will be. The second thing is that both candidates for Prime Minister have said repeatedly that they are going to try to pass a law that's going to allow the UK to unilaterally change the trade treaty signed between the UK and the EU, Brexit. If that happens, the EU will take retaliatory action, and that will make it difficult for the UK to export to the EU. And the EU continues to be one of their largest export markets. You have lowering GDP because basically, you know, productivity in the UK is still relatively low versus other countries in Europe. So most people are looking at euro sterling, which is kind of the exchange rate between the euro and pound sterling. They're looking at euro sterling to go a little higher, which means the euro is going to appreciate. So the UK is kind of becoming kind of a little bit of a stick man over there. So from an investment point of view, you know, certainly I think people who are trading with the UK, if you're a US importer of products from the UK, I think things are looking up for you because sterling will, I think, continue to depreciate against the dollar, meaning that, you know, the prices that you pay for stuff converted into US dollars will be coming lower. But conversely, if you're a US exporter, it's going to be a problem. I think you're going to face increasing headwinds. To an extent, you're going to see those across Europe, but mostly, I think, for the UK.
And for tourists, are they still getting a pretty good deal for the dollar-euro transition there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you could put up with the delays and, you know, airport flights being canceled and every hotel you can imagine being booked solidly, you can have a great, you know, this is a really bumper time to go on holidays if you're a U.S. dollar income earner. The dollar pretty much across the board is very strong against most currencies, primarily for two reasons. One, because people think the U.S. will come out of this kind of depressionary cycle faster than anyone else. And also, interest rates here are going to continue to kind of lead the way up. The Fed is seen as being fairly aggressive at trying to bring inflation down. And, you know, we've seen them continuously being kind of, they were slow to get going, but now, you know, they're really hitting it hard. More so, I think, than most people think the Europeans or Asian countries will be able to do. So, yeah, great time for your U.S. tourists. So book your tickets now.
David, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. Well, the desk number is 866-524-8836. Or you can always email me on david.faller, that's david.faller, at associatedbank.com.
All right, David, we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.